Blog Talk Radio.
Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the floor. Let the bodies hit the
pictures, and he said he's going to have it sold in like 2 days. He swears to God.
Wow.
Like, he already has people that are wanting to see it. And he's like, I'll have a contract in 2 days. So, I will be moving soon, and I have no idea where I'm going. How crazy is that?
That is crazy.
Right?
Are you gonna,
what am I doing?
Are you gonna stay in that town, or are you gonna go somewhere else?
I don't know. I have no idea what I'm gonna do. Like, my kids, they want to move down to Florida.
Wow.
I know. You're crazy, huh?
Yeah.
Like me, I could totally go to a beach area. I would be happy. I would be very happy.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
But, God, I have no idea. I have no idea where I'm going to go, what I'm going to do. It doesn't even really matter at this point. I've been wanting to move forever, so I'm just happy to, like, do it, you know?
Right.
And, you know, I might end up just renting somewhere for, like, a year until I find what it is where I really want to be or whatever. So I don't know. I might end up renting something here for a year or just going ahead and taking off. You
oh,
never,
yeah.
Never know. I feel like I should move to Kentucky. I'm in
oh,
Kentucky,
yeah?
Like, all the freaking time.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
Right.
I go to Kentucky a lot, this team.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely.
Yeah. But I don't think I'd like Kentucky. I don't know. I do like the grass there, though, and the country living, you know, simple life.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Well,
but I can
do
a simple life down in Florida, too, by a beach, okay?
Oh, cool. Yeah. Went to my brother's wedding last Sunday before that, and it was good. It's his third marriage. Hopefully everything will go well in this one. And
it's the death to us all. Haven't people realized that?
But. Yeah, and you know, and this kind of goes with a lot of what we'll be discussing tonight on the show, but, you know, this whole Obamacare thing, already seeing some of the effects of it, and this is what the government doesn't realize what they've done, but I'm sure this will happen more than just around here, but my brother's wife, they, of course, were on a honeymoon last week, so she came back. She's a store manager at a Mazio's pizza place here in town, and she showed back up to work yesterday, and they were moving furniture out. They shut the store down. Didn't even tell her, and she's a store manager.
Wow.
And come to find out, this company that owns these pizza places throughout here in East Texas, they're shutting down 5 of the pizza places, getting rid of 100 employees so that they fall under the small business deal with the insurance, and they don't have to pay the penalty with this Obamacare. And so basically, yeah, they shut down 5 stores because of they didn't want to pay the penalty with this Obamacare.
Wow.
Yeah.
Yeah, that sucks. Yeah.
You know, and so the government and Mr. Obama himself sit there and say, well, this is affordable health care for everybody. Yeah, but what it's doing, it's with these penalties and all this other bullshit that's involved in this damn bill, it's going to fuck up a lot of businesses. And there's going to be a lot of people without jobs because of it, you know. And I had another friend that they got a letter from their insurance company and said that because of the way the Obamacare is or whatever, they could no longer carry them on their insurance, and they lost their insurance.
Damn.
Now, how is all this bullshit helping the American people? Please, someone tell me. You know
what? Okay, you know what would help the American people? And this is just bottom line, okay? Everyone in this goddamn country should have health care provided by the fact that they're a fucking United States citizen, okay? We, the goddamn people, every single one of us, rich or poor, should have health care. I'm sorry, that's end of fucking story. Like, that's just it. You know what I mean? It makes me sad because, you know, I've always been lucky enough to have insurance. And, you know, I've never, like, honestly, in my adult life, I've never been without insurance. And I've had a lot of surgeries. I've had, you know, a lot of, not that much, but, you know, doctor's appointments and shit like that, more surgeries. But, you know, surgeries that I needed to get done, shit that just popped up and you're like, what is that? You know, and it's like, got to go get that removed, you know, or that taken care of. But, you know, we should all, you know, I have so many friends that are like hairdressers. And they're either working on commission or they're renting out a space. They can't afford health care, you know.
Mm-hmm.
They can't afford it. And, you know, so a lot of these people end up going and they apply for, you know, assistance through the government and have their kids that way. And, you know, that's what it's there for. That's great. But people who don't qualify but still may not be able to pay it, like, what do they do? You know, just go without surgery, just go without health care, you know, and in my opinion, it's not right. Look at all the money that we're putting out for illegal aliens having kids over here in our country.
Exactly. You know, and we'll get into this more here in a little bit, but this kind of goes into what we're going to talk about tonight. With the government conspiracies that are out there and, you know, how the government seems, you know, we've always talked about our freedoms and what our forefathers set for us back when this country was founded. And it seems like now we're going into the very kind of government that we send all of our damn troops over to other countries to get them out of this kind of a government where there's a ruler and pretty much the government tells the people what to do and they don't have a lot of freedoms. We're kind of going into the same kind of government we send our troops to battle, you know?
Yeah.
And so it don't make a whole hell of a lot of sense. And the Obamacare is just one of many things that, you know, what the hell is our country going to, you know? And, I mean, damn, there's a... When the whole Obamacare came out, they didn't even reveal all the details about it, right? And now that it's in effect, going into effect, all these little details that the American people were withheld information on are finding out shit. There's a penalty in that Obamacare if you're a smoker. You got to pay up to $5,000 to $6,000 penalty if you're a smoker.
Hmm.
And I've been a lot of smokers out there did not know about that.
And who's providing us with those cigarettes that are killing us? Our government?
Yeah.
Taxing the hell out of them? I mean, okay, so they're going to tax us there. They're going to tax you with the health care. They're going to bank on you when you're sick and you're dying. And we have cures for cancer, but they're not going to let that go legal, and they're not going to provide that for the people. They're going to feed them cigarettes, you know? Cigarettes are illegal.
Right.
You know what? I'm a smoker, but, you know, obviously I wouldn't be smoking if it wasn't on every shelf at every gas station that you can go into.
Right.
Yeah. It would just be harder to get to, and, you know, I don't know. Our government's so fucked up.
Yeah.
I didn't even vote last time. I didn't even bother. I was like, I didn't like either one. And I'm total Democrat, but I just didn't think that Obama did shit the first 4 years. So it was like, I mean, you know what? That's not right to say, because there are certain things that he did. Like, we rely on our country now more for gas than we did in the past. You know, because we did a lot of drilling here, and we have gotten off of that. So that is a good thing. But I don't know. There's just been more creepiness about Obama and what, like, is really going on in behind the scenes, it seems, that creeped me out about the man.
And I would just like to point out tonight, all of our opinions, Jody and myself and anybody else that calls in and whatnot, it's our opinions, you know? And so, because when you get into politics and you talk about the government, it can get real heated, you know, among Americans.
Oh, yes, man. I love it.
And
I get involved in emails between guy friends here in St. Louis. They'll send out a thread, and, like, the teabaggers start getting so pissed off. It's hilarious to read this shit going back and forth.
Right. And what I'm throwing out there is a little disclaimer thing. We're not trying to pass our ideas, you know, trying to convince people of this, that, and other. It's our opinions. It's what we think, and that's it. You take it for what it is. You can listen and, you know, chime in, whatnot.
We're not trying to hurt nobody. We're not trying to hurt nobody, not even our government. You know what I mean? We're just trying to understand what's out there, what's being said, trying to put all the people together. There's a lot of bad information out there as well. As investigators, we have to debunk.
Mm-hmm. And in a way, even though we're not really talking about the spirit world or that kind of nature, with the conspiracies that are out there and the different things that are going on, it falls into that paranormal realm because of the fact of it's something that's unknown. We don't know everything.
Yeah. Yeah. It goes back to, like, okay, somebody building the Denver airport and putting up all kinds of weird stuff and leading the people to believe this or that or this or that. You know, what goes out, everything can be questioned.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And I've done some reading myself on some of the stuff we're going to talk about. I got some of the information from the internet, but you can, you know, you found out some of the information that's out there is fake. So if I come across something that you know is fake, just let me know, because I don't know all of that you've done on your research on your end. And I do know we're going to probably have a couple guests calling in later, aren't we?
Yes. Hold on. Before we get started, I want to tell you about a story I found.
Okay.
So this couple, after an evening out of drinking, a Tennessee woman got really angry with her boyfriend because he wouldn't stop at McDonald's on the way home. So she ran him over with a truck, okay?
Oh, damn.
Yeah, she wanted McDonald's so bad, she ran him over with a truck, yo, okay? Like, That's pretty crazy.
Yeah.
Yeah.
I don't know.
Two of my friends from my MUFON meetings are going to be calling in, Joe and Ray. And Joe is the first person that I reached out to in the paranormal field when I was having problems in my house with my son. I had just, like, I decided, okay, I need help. And I went and looked up people here in St. Louis, and Joe was the first person I spoke to. And Joe and I, you know, we started hunting together. And so Joe knows my son, and but then he also does the MUFON meetings. He is chief of MUFON here in St. Louis. And he works under a lady named Debbie, who would actually be a really great guest for us. She's experienced a lot of stuff in ufology. She's very knowledgeable. She's on top of her game. So she would be somebody that I would love to have on the show someday. But, and then Ray is a really wonderful man. He's very interesting. He's got very crazy stories about things that have happened to him. He has been abducted. Joe has as well. And I think one of them is on the line, so I'm going to go ahead and pull him on, and I do know it's one of them. So I'm just going to go ahead and put it on, okay?
Okay.
Okay.
Hello.
Hi, Joe.
Hi, sweetie. How you doing?
Good. How are you?
Oh, doing pretty good. Sitting here at Ray's apartment right now, myself and Ray Koslanich and Adnan, and we've been listening a little bit to have a clue of what the topic is tonight. And of course, you've made the transition to the paranormal.
You know, you're going to talk about conspiracies. And that's
yeah.
why I thought, like, you would be great for this, because at the MUFON meetings, I've learned a lot of stuff about, like, conspiracies and ufology.
Oh, my goodness. That's a huge part of ufology, is the conspiracy and the hidden information and such. So, yeah, very definitely.
Yeah. You know, just recently I had found, this website where this lady was putting out false information about a NASA document.
Mm-hmm.
And, it's like at first you're like, oh, my God, you know, is this true? Is this true? If this is true, this is jacked up, you know. And then,
right.
you know, a couple of days go by and it's like, you know, find out, no, this is not true. In fact, it is full. You know, it was fake documents.
That is probably the single largest challenge that you have of trying to gather information online. And that can go for published books as well. You know, it's like if somebody can make a dime off of something, they'll make it up and put it out there in hopes of, you know, getting their 15 seconds of fame or, you know, making a couple of dollars or something like that. And but if you're looking for the authentic stuff, it can be a challenge to filter through it, definitely.
You know what I just recently learned that I think is very interesting is that we as Americans, we are just dumbasses, okay? First of all, like, we need to go ahead and we need to rewrite history because it's not right. There are hidden mounds here in the United States that go all the way back to the same time, you know, with the Egyptians, the who are they? Mayans?
Oh, the Mayans? You're talking
Mayans,
about the Mayans?
Yes, I'm sorry. Yes, Mayans.
Would it be okay if I put this on speakerphone?
Yeah.
Yeah, sure.
Okay, hang on.
Yeah. But, so, like, down in Georgia and also in Florida, there are...
Right.
There are mounds that are hidden, and I believe in New Mexico as well. And they have that same, what is it, some blue, it's not a paint, but it's something that they used for their, they used for their architecture. And
okay.
So like do the blue, but what they, mm-hmm. what they were doing was they think that they were like painting people after they sacrificed them or before they sacrificed them. And then they would throw them into the lake. And then at the bottom of this lake was like all of this blue dye stuff. And, but it links back to New Mexico, or no, in Mexico, where the tombs are there, to the blue paint, to the ones in Georgia here in the United States. So if that's the case, and they were connected, and you can actually connect those two dots, which they have, then that means our history is bullshit here. Columbus did find it, you know, this land. But there's also historical sites all over the United States that are being kept and hidden from us because the government doesn't want us to know about it.
Right. Right. You know, a case in point of that could be if anybody subscribes to the Hollow Earth theory. There's supposed to be, I think, 12 or 13 specific caves that theoretically lead, start on a path down into the inner earth. And, you know, Admiral Byrd tried to talk about some of that. And there are maps that allege to tell you where they are, and they're all over all the continents. And I think that's something that may or may not have been considered yet. If you take the time when all the land masses were connected in Super Pangaea, it would be interesting to pull all those together and then check the connection, any kind of patterns to the pyramids and things like that. And it may show a different picture.
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely.
So how was the meeting last night, by the way? How was the meeting?
How was the meeting last night? Woo, did you miss one, Jody? Oh!
Yeah.
Yeah, I'm going to let Ray tell you about that. How's that?
Okay.
Hang on.
Hello, Jody.
Hi, Ray. How are you?
I'm pretty good. Yeah, we got kind of heated. Hi, Kevin. It got a little bit heated with me and Rich Berry, but other than that, it was very interesting because the people were listening. They were asking questions. Yeah, it was pretty good.
Good. What did you guys discuss?
About some things that I call them my Fab Four, the four star people I meet every month, every 2 months, that things they had said in 2011, 2012, and Rich was comment on some of that, which you're going to have people, you know, love you, hate you, whatever. But, I mean, you know, I'm just a messenger. I get it from them, and put it out in my meetings and just
can you explain that? Can you tell us more about you? Because nobody knows what you're about and what you're talking about. So can you just like give us a little bio of what you do, what's going on with you?
Well, I could just tell you this. Back in 1959, age 12 years old, that's when I had my first encounter with the, whether your people listen and believe this or not, the little 3-inch people, they're from the fifth and seventh dimension. And, okay, hang on. But I met a total of 32 star people, 28 good, 4 bad. The 4 that I meet every month, every 2 months for information is the elephant people, the Nardiques that look like us, the grays from the planet Serpo, and my little 3-inch humanoids. And it's all about what's happening now, what's going to happen, the changes that are becoming down on this planet between now and the next 2 years, and also real possible contact. So, I mean, there's so much to my life. It's been over 50 years, but I'm just kind of briefly bringing you and your people up to date about me.
So what are the most important messages that you have received?
Well, the important message I've received is we're going to go from third dimension to fourth dimension. We're going to either be a crystal liquid from a carbon, or we'll stay the way we are for thousands of years until there will be a fifth dimension. And that's kind of where it's at right now.
Interesting.
It is. It's way out there, but, I mean, these people have never lied to me. The information they give me, I'm just a messenger. I get it out in my meetings, you know, when I speak. Joe tapes all the meetings. My December, February, and April is pretty much about what would bring everybody up to date.
I was going to say, me being in the paranormal and dealing with that, I'm a firm believer in UFOs and Bigfoot and, you know, everything out there, because we can't be closed-minded. We can't think that we're the only ones in this entire universe. And I do believe that there's multiple dimensions and, you know, where things can cross in between dimensions, dimensions can meet, and there's an overlap, you know, all kinds of things out there. So, you know, all that you talk about, you know, I believe in all that.
Yeah, I agree. Just you get into inner dimensions, outer dimensions. This thing is so massive. Actually, in our solar system, there's supposed to be a total of 500 different worlds of different kinds of ETs. Good and bad, but the good outweigh the bad. We have a lot of people, a lot of star people, that's what I call them. Everybody calls them aliens, ETs. But we have a lot of friends out there that are going to start intervening down here on everything. There's going to be a lot of good changes as we go through this. And out of the 32 I'm at 4 bad, 28 good. So even though they're my friends, they're our friends too. I've met some hideous people, animal, cat people, worm people, biblical people. I met a real angel, one-eyed cyclops giants that if they had two eyes, they would be similar to Bigfoot.
Now, are the lizard people bad people?
Do you want me to tell you what the bad people look like?
Yeah.
Well, you got the reptilians. They're the two-legged lizard people. You got these guys in this silver suit with no face. You got the grays with no big black eyes. And there's got to be an east and a west of the praying mantis people. Because I've talked to a lot of spiritual women that have been had intervention with the praying mantis that are supposed to be really holy and really, you know, working for us. But when me and my father were on this craft with these praying mantis, they treated us pretty. My dad, they treated him real bad. So I think there's an east and west of that kind of species. But that's the four bad ones, even when my late father was alive, that we met. But I've met them about three times, once my late father, twice by myself. But, you know, even when I met all 32, the information we got from even the bad ones and the good ones was we've been destroying this planet, and we need to change everything around. And if we don't do this, we would be like the dinosaur. We would be extinct to where we wouldn't be here. Planet Earth will always be here. But they know what we're doing down here. They know we're changing everything. And this is going to be a peaceful planet, a more beautiful planet. And what's going to happen to the changes of the people down here. You know, so this is the information I get. I'm just a messenger. I ask the question. You know, the biggest thing, Jody and Kevin, is when I get ready to say whatever I want to say to them, they already know what I'm going to say before I say it. You're talking about an invasion of privacy. There you go.
And I'm sure they've probably seen other civilizations out there, other planets, where the inhabitants, whatever was living on that planet, destroyed, you know, the environment and whatnot, and ultimately destroyed themselves, you know, and kind of in the same path that we're going.
I agree. The other thing to remember, too, is for the years of what we've been going through down here, this is the reptilians, the Anunnaki, Illuminati, the list goes on. They're the ones that control and pull our frequency down so low, because we only use 14% of our brain as humans. They controlled everything. And then the higher up people, humans, you know, they have the power to do what, you know, what's been going on here, all the bullshit that's been going on down here. All that's going to change. But as far as the bad ones, these are the ones that want to take over and control. Because when the good ones come down here, it's the benefit for all of us. And when that day does happen, the technology, you know, we'll be working with these people. There ain't going to be no landing on the White House lawn or on TV. These people are going to come down. And when they do it, it will be an event. It won't be a date or a time that will create visitation and contact. And if it means an asteroid, something paranormal to where that would cause visitation and contact.
Why do you think it is like that the government are so scared of the public knowing the truth?
Did you say the government?
The truth is the truth. It's who and what this land is about. You know what I'm saying? And what the stories are being told from, whether it be a cave or something that was built that we don't know how got there, but it tells a story. Why do you think that the government, like, literally the file on these things?
Okay, remember this. When you're the most powerful people that control everything, you know what the government does. I'm an ex-GI. You know, I was educated. When they can control everything down here, when E.T. came into the picture, they're just as scared as we are, okay? This is something they can't control. I'm not saying they didn't get technologies back in 1945 to where we are today, okay, and lying to us about the great crash in 1947 in Roswell. You got a lot of people on this planet that have no idea what the hell is going on, okay?
Yeah, I know.
But the education I've gotten from a 12-year-old boy to a young 65-year-old man, and I had my human life too, you know, but I've learned a lot of things, and these people are really smart, they're really friendly, and they're going to intervene and they're going to help us. And when that day comes, the military and the government will just go along with the lie. People don't understand what they've been doing since 1945, and once the truth comes out on that, there'll be a lot of shit going on then. That's all I can
say.
What
have they been doing?
Do what?
What have they been doing?
Well, supposedly, 1945, they've been using teleportation. It takes them 20 minutes. We have supposedly bases underground on the moon and Mars. Supposedly, Obama, this is his baby. He was.
We're talking about the Pegasus Project, right?
We're talking about what?
Are you talking about the Pegasus Project?
I don't know if that's it. I don't know what it's called.
Well, what you remembered was Serpico.
Well, Serpico. See, I was at Planet Serpico three times, once with my late father, once and twice by myself with the Rays. Now, here's the thing, I think, what you just said. There was an incident. It was on a Navy anti-aircraft carrier, a giant UFO, the Grays from Serpico, the ones I are my friends, made a meeting with the military to supply 13 astronauts, two of them were women, with enough food for 2 years. But I want to stress this, if this, and I think the story might be true. They supplied them for 2 years for the food that we eat. But there's no time in outer space. So when they went out there, they were out there longer than what the 2 years was. Now, from my understanding, if this is all true, which is very possible because I've been to this planet Serpico. I know it exists. But anyway, 11 came back and died mysterious death. There's supposed to be two still living up there. But, you know, you can call it speculation all you want. This is what I've heard, but thinking that it's pretty true being human, I've been to the planet. Otherwise, I wouldn't say that.
How do you get to the planet?
In aircraft. There'll be a cigar-shaped, brown or white, huge, three football lengths, a giant flying saucer. This is the way they take us to, whether it's another dimension, planet Serpico, or a star, whatever. A lot of times I meet them in a place where I'll be on the highway, the craft will fly across my car, and I'll get information on my radio off to the next exit, go down that road, I'll see the craft, the car will die, and there they are, okay? And then what happens next is I'm on a craft in this room with this diamond-shaped furniture with my Fab Four, that's what I call them. And how I know how long I've been on there is when I'm done, I'll look for a quick trip or something open late because my watch stops. But when my watch stopped, I already see what time it is. So it lets me know how long I was on the craft. And any information they give me, I write it down in my notebooks because I got a photographic mind where I got a videotape of what's been said. I got about 15 notebooks or more of my life, but this is what happens in a process when I'm in the inductions. The other thing I want to stress is this. I've never had any missing time. I always know what's going on. Even with my late father at age 12, 1959, up until the point that my dad died, but the craziest story I'm about ready to tell you, because I'm going to shorten that up real quick. At age 12 years old in 1959, every Saturday morning, my dad had four family flat. I would go right across the street because we had these giant, beautiful streetlights. And I used to love to hear the ping off these lights with these little pebbles. And I had two big boulders to break the light. Well, I'm throwing these little pebbles, and out of the corner of my eye, I see this metallic object coming towards me. And it comes over my head about 30 feet. Little kid, 12 years old. I picked up the big boulder. I stepped back, and I'm getting ready to throw at this object, and it's going to fall and break in half. When I went to throw, I saw these little windows with these little figures. These are now my little 3-inch humanoid buddies. And they shot a beam of light on me. And I was out there for about 45 minutes, and then the object went over this house and went over on the other side where I couldn't see it, and it shot straight up and disappeared. So I ran into the house. My mom's cooking breakfast. My dad's sitting at his main table, and he's got this little pad he would always write on. Well, I'm drawing what I'm seeing. And my dad jumps up and he goes, "Where did you see this?" And I said, "Dad, across the street." He goes flying out the door. My mom flies after him. I get both of them back in. My mom goes back to cooking breakfast, but my dad's asking me, "Tell me everything you know." And the first thing came to my mind is, if I tell you what I was out there for, you're not going to kick my ass because I was trying to break the light. Well, then my dad knew he had somebody to console with. So the very first meeting, we're going to go see the ET together, star people. He goes grocery shopping. He thought more of my wife than ET. He buys two loaves of bread and all the groceries. Then we go meet ET. We go on a craft. I'll make a long story short. We come back to our car. They take off. I turn around. The bread's gone, but everything else is there. And I grab my dad's arm and I go, "Dad, they took the bread." But we would go back into the backyard of the four families, 210 by 60, and we would talk. And his little 12-year-old kid would say, "Daddy, the next time we see the star people, we take bread." My dad laughed. The second time we went to meet him, he took 5 loaves of bread. The third time we went to meet him, he took 7 loaves of bread. My dad didn't laugh no more. It was a peace offering that we knew we were coming back safe. I don't know how many loaves of bread, even to this day, that we and I have fed ET, but it was quite a bit. So that was the story of that. Whether you believe that or not. The Narniks actually changed the menu on me to the people that look just like us. They love our donuts, and what I'm about to tell you might sound nuts, but if you hang around a donut shop, your chances of meeting a Narnik is pretty good. They look just like us. They could put a T-shirt and a pair of jeans, you wouldn't even know they were from another world. And a lot of ETs are down here, not just underneath the ground, but they're actually walking amongst us.
Do they know they're aliens?
What was that?
Do they know they're aliens?
Did they know they're aliens?
Yeah.
Are you saying that? Are you saying that the aliens know they're aliens? That's what I got.
Oh yeah, I mean, like, you know.
Oh yeah.
Could they?
They're down here. They're down here for a reason.
People are not letting them know so that they fit in and all of that.
The human beings down here don't know they are. No.
Right.
But they're down here for a reason. You know, these people are ready to do whatever it is they're supposed to do that is going to help us. I met the blue people. Mm-hmm. There's two types. There's a sacred and there's what they call the waters. They're actually underground planet Earth right now, that if anything happens, they're programmed to do what they're supposed to do to protect the humans. There's a group called the we were talking about. They're protectors. I'm trying to. Oh, the Legion, Silver Legion, and most of them are women with wings that are Silver Legion. There's like a thousand of them, and they're protectors of the universe and planet Earth.
Jody, don't you have a picture of yourself with wings?
I'm sorry, what?
Joe says, don't you have a picture of yourself with wings?
Yeah. I'm a freaking, like, got an angel with horns. Didn't y'all know?
But there's a lot of people. What was that?
I said, did you get that memo?
Oh, yeah.
Okay.
planets, just the Dromo Council, it's like a federation union. There's like 300 other worlds that are in this federation. You there?
Yeah, we're listening.
Okay.
Yeah.
Well, no. We have
Kevin,
a lot of...
go ahead.
That was awesome.
We got a kid there.
Oh, her kids are probably...
Her kids are...
Okay, you know what? I want to ask you some questions.
Okay, hang on. Joe. Okay, Jody. Yeah.
All right, Joe. Okay. So, can you tell us about your abduction?
Sure. I'll tell you something interesting. I know that at least one situation that I certainly believe was an abduction on my part, and I don't quite remember the year that it happened in, but what I can tell you was I was taking care of my mom at her house, and I remember going to bed.
Kevin,
sure.
Is that your phone making all that noise?
What do you mean making noise?
Do you guys hear that noise? Like TV or?
Yeah, let me take this off speakerphone and see if that helps.
Okay.
No, I still heard it for a second. I don't know. I mean, that sounds like one of you guys' speakers. I'll say something, and then in a moment, I'll hear what I just said.
Is that better? No.
Nope.
Kevin, it's got to be you.
Got to be me?
Yeah, because I'm off speakerphone, so there's no feedback going. We don't, even though we've got you guys up on the computer, we've got the sound off.
All right, let me see what I can do.
Okay. No, it must have been the feedback. Okay, sound check. 1, 2, 3.
Yeah.
Okay, does this sound better, Jody?
I think we got it all worked out. It was pretty bad, Kevin.
Oh, good.
Okay.
So...
Yeah, where was it coming from? Who was it?
Must have been on one of you guys then.
Okay. All right.
So
go ahead.
Yeah. So I remember going to bed, and I was sleeping on the couch in the front room. My next waking memory was I was standing up in the middle of the living room facing the wall towards the street. Except that there was no wall. And I remember seeing what appeared to be like 8 shadowy figures scurrying across the front yard towards the house. And I remember feeling absolute terror and turning to my right like I was going to go into the house, into the dining room, to try to get away from whatever this was. And then the next memory I had was being horizontal. I don't know if they were trying to pick me up off the couch or if they're trying to put me back on the couch, but I felt what seemed like little spindly arms from, like, the back of my neck and my back and the lower back, you know, like a bunch of arms handling me somehow. And my martial arts training reflex kicked in, and with my left hand, I went to back fist. And halfway through the move, my arm froze on me. I couldn't budge it anymore at all. And the harder I tried, the more immobile I became. And I finally got tired enough that when I quit trying to do the punch, the arm relaxed and actually fell forward, and the back of my left fist went down the arm of one of these things. And I remember thinking how it felt like a frog. It was very fragile, very delicate. There was texture to the skin. And then the next thing was morning. And it, for the longest time, I wondered how in the world I saw them coming through the front yard, and it finally occurred to me, well, they had probably either somehow dissolved the front part of the house or opened a portal door that allowed them to come through the wall. Now, another interesting thing regarding my experience with abductions, I've had two other cases, but I was not taken. The people that were with me were the ones taken. I just happened to be there when it happened, I think. Do you want to hear about those, or you want to move on to something else? Okay. The first situation was I was living in the city of St. Charles, and I had been on a sky watch, which is something that Missouri MUFON used to do once in a while. And I rode down with a friend of mine and her girlfriend, and this was down, I believe it was in Cuba, Missouri. So, you know, we were down there doing the Skywatch thing and, you know, visiting and blah, blah, blah. And my friend said, don't let us stay too long, you know, her girlfriend needed to get back. I said, okay. And the last time I remember bringing attention to her, the time to her attention was at midnight. And we were there for a little bit longer, so I'm going to guess it was probably, you know, 12:20 when we actually left. And from Cuba, Missouri, back to her home, let me just do it as it happened. We're in a car, she's driving, and, you know, we have to go through some backwoods to get to the highway. We get to the highway, we're heading out. She's offered me, if I'm tired, I can lean the chair, you know, the seat back and go to sleep. I said, no, I'm fine. I'm wide awake. Her girlfriend's in the back seat. We're driving a station wagon. She's passed out in the back seat. And as we're riding along, my friend gets hungry. So we pull off the road to a Jack in the Box, and she gets something to eat and something to drink, and I wasn't hungry, so I didn't order anything. But I'm wide awake, okay? So we go on through, and we get back on the highway, and within probably 2 or 3 minutes, I'm all of a sudden really tired, really sleepy. And I remember telling her, I think I'm going to take advantage of your offer, and I'm going to, and I fell asleep. So the next thing I know is I feel my body jostle because she's turning, you know, taking a clover leaf onto another highway, and she's saying, Joe, look at that over there. It was on her side of the car over on the horizon, and there was a light over the treetops. And I looked at it, and I didn't think much of anything of it. I said, that's probably a plane or something. So we go on back to her place, and as I'm getting out of the car, I make a note of the time. It's 4:30 in the morning. And all I can think of is I've got a 7:30 in the morning meeting in Kirkwood I've got to be at, and I still have another hour to get back to St. Charles, so I'm not going to get much sleep tonight.
Right.
So I go on home, I get up, do my thing, blah, blah. In the afternoon, my friend calls me and asks me what time we got back to her place. I said, I know that. It was 4:30. She said, what time did we leave the Skywatch? I said, I'm going to guess 12:20, maybe 12:30 at the latest. She said, how long do you think it takes us to get from my home to Cuba? I said, probably about an hour. She
you
goes,
just
think
said
about
the key
that.
Word right there.
Yeah, yeah. And
Cuba.
I'm going, oh,
Cuba.
My God. Yeah, Cuba.
Mm-hmm.
I was like, we had like a couple hours of missing time. And I'm the UFO investigator. I'm supposed to notice shit like this, you know?
Right.
That led to a very interesting situation. My late sister, Mary Boyer, used to be the only teacher of the Silva method here in the St. Louis area. And she also did hypnosis. So I asked her if she would mind, you know, trying to do some regressive hypnosis on me to see if we could find out what happened with this.
Yeah.
So she did, and I remembered, okay, I went under, my conscious memory that comes up, I'm sitting in the car in the passenger seat, looking ahead, the car beams are on, and we've, like, pulled into what seems like we're in bushes or something. And I'm like, we're off the road, but there's nothing but, like, bushes in the front of the car and trees and stuff. And she says, what's going on around you? So I look over to my left, and there's my friend just from the neck up looking at me and screaming, help me, help me. But she's not doing anything with the rest of her body, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And beyond her, I see what seems to be two gray alien creatures approaching the car. And they get to her car. I remember thinking they had to bend over just slightly. It's like the top of their head was just over the top of the car. So we're talking maybe 5 foot, 5'2", something like that. And they open the car door, and they unbuckle her seatbelt, and they take her out. And she's looking at me, I mean, and just absolute terror on her face. And I remember hearing the words, it's okay, we'll bring her back in a little while. And I remember thinking, oh, okay. And when I had that realization, I got really angry because I've got this martial arts background, this self-defense background, I should be defending her. And I'm just very placidly going, uh-huh, okay, whatever. They somehow had me completely controlled.
Mm-hmm.
And they walk with her off into the woods. And I watch them until they disappear. And my sister's saying, okay, now what's happening? I said, I don't know. They're gone. And she said, do you want to know where they went? I said, sure. She goes, well, then follow them. And I'm like, I can do that? And as it turns out, consciousness does not know time or space.
Right.
So I thought, okay, cool. So I go, my consciousness is going now. My physical body's not, my consciousness goes. And I catch up to them as she's being walked up this ramp into this ship. I remember it seemed much smaller from the outside than it was on the inside. And that's not the first time I've heard that concept. But they took and put her on some sort of a table that was pretty much up on end, and, you know, her heels were like on the lip of this thing, and then they leaned it back just a little bit. Her body was still immobile, but she was still screaming, and then two arms swung down from the ceiling with seemingly balls on either end and met her at the temples, and then she went neutral in her expression. And I don't know if they were uploading information, downloading information. There are certain schools of thought out there that some races of beings use humans as human libraries. They can give us information, they can extract information. So, and that was all that I got out of that particular regression. I say that's all, that's quite a bit, but, you know, and I've had people say, well, when you get hypnotized, you know, you can only remember what happened to you. And I'm not entirely sure that's accurate. You know, the mind is active 24/7. Even when you're asleep, your senses are still active, and you know what's going on in the room. That's why some people, an example, you know, if somebody breaks into your house, some people might wake up knowing there's a foreign presence in their house. They may not have heard the break-in, but they are suddenly aware that somebody's in that house that shouldn't be. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
So that was that particular situation, and the other situation
okay,
was much
shorter.
Okay,
hold on. I gotta add something to that situation.
Sure.
Of why I said Cuba. Because that's when that happened to me. Remember, I was...
Mm-hmm.
My story was that I was driving to Steelville, and I ended up in Cuba.
Mm-hmm.
Four hours later, and I don't know how the hell I got there.
Right.
So, Kevin, the story to this, like, this highway, 44, mm-hmm. is like
right.
UFO Alley or something. What do they call it?
Yeah, UFO Alley, yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and that's been that way for 30 or 40 years.
Yeah, dude. Like,
yeah,
I ended up 4 freaking hours away, and I don't know how I got there, and I was really only an hour and a half away, right?
Yeah.
Yeah. And
in fact,
how
I think when
through,
I checked it on the map, it was
my car
much
was, like, wobbling, and I had this huge blister on the side of my tire. And I was like, what the fuck is, where, you know, what the fuck is going on? I didn't know what happened. But I was completely somewhere else, like, 4 hours later. That was only an hour
yep.
and a half away. And I didn't get out of the car the whole time. Okay? That's the weird thing.
mm-hmm. Yeah.
You know, it's not a stop. Not a stop anywhere.
Very definitely. And we're just about ready to work with Jody on that one. We're just about ready to do that. I've been talking with the counselor on that. And,
you know,
and
I just wrote her number down again so that I can call her. But I really want to go into a dermatologist and have that thing cut out of my head again and, like, film it.
Yeah.
Kevin, I have this lump on the back of my head, and I kind of got it after my missing period time, and it was there for a long time, and it would itch and itch and itch and itch and itch and itch. So I went in and I had it removed, and it came back twice as big, same spot.
Wow.
Yeah, so I'm thinking I'm going to go have it removed again, but I'll film it and have them, like, cut it open. Let's dissect it. You know?
Yeah,
you
definitely.
Know.
You know, biopsy that thing.
Mm-hmm.
Make them back with alien DNA. You don't know. That's all we have
Do
to
what?
Find out is that Jody's part alien.
Is it possible? It could be. That's what could be. What the fuck is wrong with me? Nar. I'm wired wrong.
Now the world will know.
What?
I said we knew
Where
that.
Where are we at, guys? Yeah. Yeah. The last situation.
What did she say? Margaret? Margie?
No, Margine. No,
yeah.
We had to finish up another case that we were recently working on. And it took us all this time to take care of it because each step along the way when some more information was revealed, I think the witnesses needed to take time to think about that.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's like,
process.
You know, just, you know, try to integrate it into their lives.
Yeah, I've already
processed
it for a long time.
Yeah, you know, and it's I've been there too. It's like, you can think about it all you want, but when you have an objective means of putting it out there and it's suddenly more real.
Right. And people are going to be like, listening to your story going, man, this person is out of their mind.
Yeah.
You
yeah.
know, because that's what they're thinking. Like, I love watching people when, you know, they want to talk ghost stuff with me. Like, they'll be like,
mm-hmm.
no, like, you really believe that? And it's like, yeah. When you see something fly across the room, you're going to believe it too. You know what I mean?
Right. Oh, yeah.
You know?
Yeah. Yeah.
Or when something pushes or touches you or pulls your hair. Or you hear
That's
something
right.
with your ears. You're going to know. Something's there.
Yeah.
I believe there's going to be a breakthrough in ufology before paranormal.
Yeah, that would make sense.
Mm-hmm.
That would make sense
yeah.
if the info that, you know, Ray is being given and several other people are being given, you know, that could be. Is the real issue, and Jody, I've heard you talk to our groups, you know, through some online videos about this. It's like, yeah, we have this device and it blinks, but what does that mean?
Right.
You know, we still have yet to understand what it is that what data we're trying to collect, either out of, you know, out of thin air or whatever.
Seriously,
and
it could be just a bubble of energy floating around.
Yeah.
That has
yeah.
absolutely nothing to do with it being a spirit.
Right.
So, yeah, those you know how I feel about EMF readers.
Mm-hmm.
They're
mm-hmm.
just for show, in my opinion. They're just for show. Like, you want to play with the big boys, you got to have a millimeter, a K2 meter. You got to have something that lights up pretty.
Yeah, and has meaning.
Yeah.
But that becomes the trick 22, because you can't take a device and have somebody say, this device, if it does this, then this means this. Well, how do you know? How have you arrived at that? You know, if we take a thermometer and take it outside and it says it's 80 degrees out and you get three different thermometers and they all say 80 degrees, then you've got, you know, it's been calibrated, and you know what that means. Hello? Was
mm-hmm.
that Jerry Lee,
yeah.
I hope?
Yeah.
But, you know, I had the same issue with electronic voice phenomena. You know, I understand enough about technology of sound gathering and recorders and all that to just have to wonder, okay, how are we interpreting this, and why are we interpreting it that way?
Mm-hmm.
You know, there are some where it would certainly seem that we are hearing definitely, you know, words or even a short sentence or something like that. But the majority of what I've been exposed to is like a Rorschach test. You know, I'm going to put a blob of ink and fold the page. And, you know, all three of us may see something completely different, you know, unless one of us says, doesn't that look like an angel? And then your mind goes to, is there a pattern? Oh, yeah, I can see how the person would see an angel. And that's kind of how I look at the EVP sometimes, you know.
Mm-hmm.
We're trying to gather and measure evidence without the tools calibrated to do so, because we can't get the evidence to say, okay, under controlled circumstances, you know, that's the real challenge. I'll still go back to the old way of ghost hunting for me, because it becomes a pattern. You send four psychics into a building and all four of them have gone all through the building, and there's one particular room where they all got the same thing. Okay, let's go to that room and focus on that room.
Mhm.
You know.
Yeah.
Mhm.
Yeah.
So, what's next, guys?
You know, Dad, I was telling Kevin earlier that I would love to have Debbie on sometime.
Yeah. Yeah.
You
Debbie
know?
Is, by the way, the not only is she the state director for Missouri MUFON, she's one of the board of directors of MUFON. So
yeah.
You would have a very high caliber guest.
Whoa, sorry. Tickle. Whoa.
Are you okay, sweetie?
Yeah, man, I just got a tickle in my throat, and that just took over. Woo! God dang.
Yeah, it is the time of season.
Yeah.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So, yeah, Debbie Ziegelmeyer would definitely be a great guest for you guys to have at some point.
Yeah, can you tell us some of her stories, like, of what you know, what you do know? Like, what are some of her best cases here in Missouri?
Well, the hot cases going on right now are the cattle mutilations that are going on here in the state.
Okay.
I've been on two investigations with her, and the most recent one that we were on, I was particularly attracted to this, the evidence on this, because historically, when the cows have been found, you know, there's the typical incisions, the typical organs that have been removed and that kind of thing. And that happened with this particular cow. But what was unusual, and we've got two cases in Missouri like this now, the ground underneath where the cow was laying was, like, burnt. And that hasn't happened in other cases. When Debbie and I, yeah, and apparently also in this particular case, when the farmer used a forklift on a tractor to lift the cow's body and move it elsewhere, some of the insides from the outer wounds seeped out. And the reason that I mention that is on this last case, something told me to bring a laser thermometer, and I did. And what we found was that the surrounding area on average was like between 70 and 80 degrees. When I used this thing on where the burnt image of the cow was, in some places it was as hot as 108 degrees, which doesn't make any sense. You know, and it had been 5 weeks since this cow had been moved. You know, we're not talking some sort of recent thing. There was no radiation reading from the Geiger counter. There was a heat registration. And as far as I think Debbie's been able to get that sent off for analysis.
Do you think these things are just getting, like, dropped out of the sky, or something's actually coming down, landing and doing this stuff?
You know, it's hard to say. There are some cases where that appears to be the situation, because where the cow has been found, the indentation of the cow's body has been, it's like it was either dropped or pushed into the ground.
Are the cows
that's why it's still
from
a mystery,
the land itself, like the owners, like the
right? As far as I know, yeah, they do belong to the land where they're found.
Okay.
I don't know that there's ever been a case where it's not been that. But good question, Jody. It's a very good question.
Thank you. You know me. I'm always asking questions at the MUFON meetings.
Yes, you are.
I am.
A good one.
Can I always start shit?
Well.
Kevin, this one lady blew in one night, okay? And she was, God, how old is she, Joe?
Oh, you're talking, you're talking about Crystal. Oh, my
Let's
God, I think Crystal's 90.
Crystal,
oh, Lordy.
She is all blonde, 90-year-old, lipstick, no joke, up to underneath her nose, down like a clown around her mouth. And she is pissed because somebody did not pick her up, and she's yelling and yelling and yelling. And then she's like talking about how she wants to talk about her story. Well, we were getting ready to start our meeting. And I was like, I want to hear your story. And Joe just looked at me like, shut up.
Yeah, I'm in the back of the room trying to videotape this meeting, and Jody's going, go, Crystal, go. And I'm like, don't encourage her. Damn it. Shut the fuck up.
I wanted to know her story because she wasn't going to shut up until she said it. You know what I mean?
Oh, I know. I know. She's been that way ever since I've known her.
Yeah.
But ever since
she
I've
came
known her.
In with a book of all of
yeah.
the people that are aliens that are blonde and blue-eyed aliens here.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah.
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 Yeah, and I've heard some poor reviews of that book too. I think she just, you know, it may have been in her heyday that she was good, but I think she's just been too long at the fair, you know.
Yeah. She's something.
She's something. I haven't seen her since that time either. I don't know what I do know that on the way home she did have a car accident.
Oh, Jesus Christ.
Yeah, I mean, she was, you know, she wasn't killed or anything, but she,
right.
her, what, Ray says she broke her ribs.
Oh, geez,
yeah.
Dang, on the way home from that.
Yeah, on the way home from that.
Wow.
Yeah,
well, how did she
so,
get there? What was she coming in bitching about getting a ride if she already had a ride? And got in cars.
I don't know. Maybe it was a sense of entitlement with her. I don't know. She was under the impression that Debbie was supposed to arrange, you know,
a driver
the ride for
her.
For her.
I know.
You know, she was she thought she was the speaker for the meeting.
It is.
Like, no.
No.
Well, we won't
you know,
get
there
into
was
that.
One. There was one great. My favorite MUFON meeting so far was. The last one at Culpepper's out on
mm-hmm.
Olive, and
mm-hmm.
that author spoke, and he talked about the Pegasus Project, and he talked about all kinds of great stuff.
Yeah, that must have been, that was the Skype one, right?
Mm-hmm.
That was one that was done on Skype. I'm trying to think of who that might have been.
I don't know, but he was awesome. I can't remember.
Yeah.
He was way awesome.
Yeah.
So, okay, Joe. Hey, did you see the videos that I put out about the move or the FEMA camps and stuff going up all over our country?
I have not seen those yet.
Okay, there's like FEMA camps all over our country now, and they have like stacked coffins.
Mhm.
So they can fit like four people in each one. The camps are actually built to keep people in, not out, okay?
Mm-hmm.
And, let's see. Oh, and then there were, like, 30,000 of those things that cut your head off.
Guillotine?
Purchased by United States, yes.
Huh. What? Will you guys shut up? I'm going to whoop both of you asses if you don't knock it off. Not you guys. I think there's someone here that can probably speak more to conspiracies than I can. Would you like to talk
Who?
To Adnan?
Sure.
His name's Adnan. Yeah, hang on.
Okay. Eggnog? What?
Hello?
Hello?
That's right. It's Eggnog. How you doing?
Good, how are you? Have I met you?
Yes, we're met. We were at Schneidhorst. We had
yeah,
that
go,
special room.
Yeah, you do that. You work for Post Dispatch, right?
That's right.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah, we had dinner at Schneidhorst, yeah. That was
yeah,
fun.
Yeah, it's been a while since we've seen you since, but yeah, it was a lot of fun.
Yeah. Okay, so talk to us. Tell us what you got. Give us the dirt.
Oh, I don't know. We're sitting here, and we can't, because we only got this one phone, and we can't hear what you guys have been discussing. So we're sitting in silence, and the next thing I know, hey, here's the phone. I'm like, okay.
Okay. Conspiracies we were talking. Got any
which,
good ones?
Which ones?
What's your favorite one?
Oh, wow. Good. That's Pandora's box right there. Well, the most recent one that I found very interesting because I'm more interested in the UFO phenomenon. But sometimes you can't help but being the researcher that I am, trying to look into just generally Illuminati questions and what is that all about, because it constantly comes up. And, mm-hmm. you know, I wanted to know for myself. I'm sure there's people with a lot of things, a lot of subjects, a lot of opinions out there. I want to have four of my own. And the most recent one was the YouTube Video Awards. And I found it very interesting that if, there were a lot of the so-called Illuminati symbols, you know, Eye of Ra, the devil horn representations, and I found it really intrigued me that if there's no Illuminati, if there's no conspiracy, then why do most of these, not all, but most of the performers always, throw out these symbols that have all these meanings going all the way back to Egypt. I really was interested to look more into that and to see for myself what's going on there, because the most famous one, you probably, if you go on YouTube, you'll see Eminem basically with this right hand throwing up the horns covering his right eye, but with the left eye looking at the camera. So you have two major Illuminati symbols right there. So what was the point of that? You'll see a lot of celebrities on covers basically just covering one of their eyes, looking out with the other one. And you'll
right.
see literally a barrage of over 20, 30 performers that have covers, movie covers, music covers, you name it. So either they're all using the same publicist or there's something behind that. So that's been the thing I've been looking into lately.
Yeah, I mean, the Illuminatis, they want to take over and have New World Order. And, it is everywhere.
Yeah.
You're absolutely right. Rihanna, Miley Cyrus, it's like all these music people, they're pushing that and putting that into, the public eye as much as possible, it seems. Have you done any research on the Denver airport?
The Denver airport? Yes, I have.
Yeah.
Not so much because I try, because I was not able to go there myself. And so if I cannot visit, or if I cannot, see certain paintings, that represent, certain symbols or things, I try not to discuss it too much. But what was anything in particular you were wondering about the airport?
It's pretty fucking weird.
yes, that's for sure. It's a very, very graphical airport. I mean, I've been to airports before, but it has a lot of wall paintings that that are very interesting to see, to say the least.
Yeah, they tell a story that isn't very pretty.
Well, there's, at heart, before everything else, I've always been a very spiritual person. And there's certain things that I've learned generally about Illuminati and all these things that we consider to be a threat to humanity, that because they are doing what they are doing so that certain numbers of the population start looking into that, start waking up in their own way, and that at the end of the day, there will be no danger to humanity if they're kind of being used or
abused. I'm having a hard time hearing you a little bit.
Can you hear me now?
Yeah.
Okay. The Illuminati are being used more as a catalyst to get us all to look into...
You're back out.
Oh, how about now?
Yeah.
I'm on a cell phone. It might be bad connection.
Hello?
Yep, now I can hear you.
Okay.
It sounded like you were, like, kind of putting your chin against it,
Oh, that might have been it.
Yeah. Okay. Go ahead.
I was just going to say that the Illuminati symbols and all these things that are there for us to take closer look. And to me, it was, I had the opposite effect. The more I look into the Illuminati, the more spiritually aware I've become. And it's almost serving that purpose. Every
these
little
people
corner.
Are real too. Like this shit is really going on.
Yes, of course, of course. I'm not saying that that's not happening, but it's it's almost
but
like an agreement was made before we were born to for them to play the bad guys and us to follow them, and then at the end of the tunnel we'll just wake up and realize, oh, we're all playing a game.
Mhm. Yeah. Societies are interesting once you start studying that stuff. I've been kind of researching that for about 4 years now. And,
It's very interesting.
It's for real. It's in cities, and it's really going, you know, some of the stuff is really going on.
Sure.
And,
well,
they kind of like...
I just wanted to share something I did. It was research about 2 years ago, and I was originally born in Bosnia. Well, at that time it wasn't called Bosnia; it was called Yugoslavia. It doesn't exist anymore.
Right.
And when the war broke out, we went to Germany, and so I grew up basically grew up then, and we eventually moved to the United States. So when I was first looking into this one world order connections and whatnot, I was looking at birth certificates. I mean, you hear about birth certificates all the time and numbering systems. And what I found very interesting is that Yugoslavia, a socialist country, Germany, now socialist, and the United States, they had the same numbering system that they designated for, I guess, numbering humans. Every time a baby is born, they would, have a certain county number, then certain filing number, and then the number for the individual person. And for being three separate countries, supposedly having their own numbering system, it was all the same. So if there was, you know, I found that very interesting that they would all three supposed separate cultures and in some cases enemies would follow the same system.
Yeah.
What I find interesting. Go ahead.
I was just going to say that there's then this whole news. Story that I could tell you, but it'll go on for 2 hours.
You wait, what?
I was saying that there's this whole story that I could tell you following up what I just said that will take up to 2 hours, so I'd rather not get into it.
Okay. Yeah, we don't have 2 hours, but...
Sure.
Have you been to any recent MUFON meetings?
I have not. I have about 6 months ago, I stopped. I had this feeling that there are certain things in my life that I needed to do and focus on that. But things are coming to a conclusion, and I'm coming back. Hopefully by the end of this year, I'll have a website that I'll launch in collaboration with Joe and Ray. It would be UFOhub.net, and it's under construction now. But hopefully by the time next year comes around, beginning by the time first meeting would come up, first Ray's meeting, that would be the official launch date. Because I'm doing everything myself, so I got to do some of the coding and the designing and all that.
Right. Yeah, that takes time.
Yeah, it does. It does.
No messing around with that stuff. Takes time. You gotta treat it like a baby, you know.
Sure. Well, especially with the amount of videos and data that will be going through the site, it will be hundreds and hundreds of videos and information, and I've been trying to write a script to where it would be mainly automated, where I can just add it to a library and then have it load from that instead of me spending 24/7 sitting in front of the computer uploading videos one by one.
Yeah. Oh, my God. And Joe just had a fire, and he lost, like, everything.
Yes, but I was telling Joe, and he believes that, too, nothing happens just out of the blue. It's all for a reason. So things seem to be coming together again for him and getting things back in order.
Good. I'm glad to hear that. Yeah. All right. Well, can you talk to Joe again?
Sure. Well, nice to talk to you.
You too. I hope to see you soon.
For sure. Begin next year, January. If you show up to the meetings, you'll see me there. We'll have, the official launch of UFOHub.net.
I live for the MUFON meetings, okay?
Okay. All right. Nice to talk to you. Here's Joe.
All right.
Hey.
Hey.
Yeah. You were starting to describe the FEMA camps.
Yeah.
It's of course a big mystery and kind of a, for lack of better terms, generating concern about these things. But something to think about, other than something nefarious, if we're coming into these times and there's going to be a lot of earth changes going on, if there's going to be a ton of floods, drought, earthquakes, all that kind of thing, there could be a projection going on about a lot of deaths that will wind up occurring.
Mm-hmm.
That might explain all of the, as you were saying, the caskets that have been seen being piled up.
How do they know this shit?
Well, that's a good question.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, yeah. Why do they
what
have
the... What are they
the,
preparing for that they're not letting the public know so that the public can prepare themselves so that we can take care of our own children? You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
Like, maybe everybody doesn't want to go into a fucking FEMA camp. I'm sorry, but I can dig a fucking hole myself if you tell me now to go start. You know what I mean?
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
I'll build a forest.
Yeah.
Yeah, underground.
Yeah, absolutely.
Growing shit.
Absolutely. Well, you know, it's been years ago, but 60 Minutes did a piece on a seed bank that I think it's up around the North Pole, where they've been trying to collect every kind of seed known, you know, including wheat, you know, anything that could be eaten and stored up there. Now, why would they be doing that? Why do they feel the need to, almost have a Noah's Ark of vegetation up there, unless they think somehow something that cataclysmic is going to occur and they're going to have to be able to replant and you know, regrow. I would hate to consider the options on that, because if it's something that devastating, you know, it takes time for food to grow. So there better be a different contingency in effect for that as well. But I've been hearing about the FEMA camps for, my God, 20 years. And it's still being denied that they're out there, although people, you know, get out there and they get video or pictures or whatever. And I don't know why that's happening. So, I think that we've got a lot to be watchful of, certainly. In a lot of the things that are talked about conspiratorially, different examples of that going on. I think I heard at one point some city in Florida I think it was. I really don't remember when it was, several years ago, but where there was a almost a military move to see what the citizen reaction would be, you know, with a tank rolling down your residential street or something like that. I wish I remembered more about that, but, you know, just periodically through the years I've heard little things like that.
What just happened in Boston? You know, they put out online that there was going to be a drill, okay?
Right.
Just like a test drill. Next thing you know, there's a bomb going off across the street. People are freaking injured.
Mm-hmm.
Then they shut down all the internet, and then they're actually having state police go into homes, look in them, and then one of the suspects that went in the hospital, right? Obama's wife went and visited him, but didn't visit the people who were actually wounded. What?
Pretty strange. Pretty strange.
What's up with that?
Go ahead, bud.
That shit, you know, that's weird.
There's,
I would agree.
There's, I have friends that are in the military, and they know a lot of the military that had been shipped back over here to the U.S. to train on you also there?
Yeah, we're listening. So we're trained what?
They're being trained how to handle civilians in a, you know, kind of like a martial law type deal. They're being trained in all that right now. And then if you think outside the box with the whole gun control issue, why is the government doing it? What's the real thing behind that? Do they want our guns? No. They just don't want America armed.
Right.
We are freaking hunters. I'm sorry, but there are people that go out and they hunt ducks. They hunt deer. They control their land population from their food getting eaten that they're growing for the people. You know what I mean?
But you got to think outside the box. If America's not armed, then if they do and take over with martial law, they won't have resistance.
That.
Well, I got to tell you, I think if that's the game plan, I think they're vastly underestimating the Americans here. You know, we can go back to the...
I don't know, they're going to do... If there was a martial law, they would fuck us up pretty quick and cripple us really bad.
I don't know, because
people that would be like, fuck this shit, though. And it would be a wrench on. You know?
Down here in Texas, they would have a real hell of a time to get a hold of all of us. Because down here in Texas, we don't have house alarm or, you know, the security systems in our house. Our security system is a shotgun by the front door.
Hey, speaking of Texas, down in Austin, Texas, FEMA was going around and spray painting X's, blue and red X's out in front of people's houses. And it was actually on the news, and people were like, what is this, and why is FEMA doing red here and blue there? What does this mean?
First I've heard of it. Good question.
Yeah, that was on the news. I caught that. I was like, what the hell is that about?
Well, you know, one of the things when people have brought this up, you know, people in the circles that I run have brought this sort of thing up, I always think back to turn of last century when the Soviet Union tried to control the public. They couldn't do it. They just flat out couldn't do it. There are not enough troops, even if you combine all of our armed forces. There's not nearly
I
enough
think
food.
Our own troops would turn against our government. I do believe that. I think that when it came down to it, I think their troops would say, fuck you, I'm not going to go kill people I love, people I know, and, you know, I'm not going to play into this shit. I think they're going to, you know, I don't know.
No,
you just
don't
go and kill your own people.
The only
ones
the government could control would be the soldiers that they've brainwashed.
Yeah.
Which, you know, that's a very interesting term to use, brainwash. Because they would literally have to brainwash. You know, I know, for example, experiments with hypnosis. And this is just what I've heard. I don't have anything to back this up with. But an example of you take a private and put him in a room and you bring his sergeant in. They say, private, take your gun and shoot the sergeant. Well, no, sir, he's my commanding officer. I'm not going to do that. And then they hypnotize the guy and give him the suggestion that the enemy's about to walk through the door and they're disguised as your sergeant. Get them. Sergeant walks in, private gets up and goes after the guy. Now, that's a type of brainwashing, but it has to give them the illusion that they're still going after the enemy. I'm pretty sure that when Ray, maybe you can back me up on this. When you went into the service, isn't it when soldiers get enlisted and they take an oath, they too are taking an oath to support the Constitution and defend America against all enemies, foreign and domestic?
Right.
Yeah. So that, you know, that's ingrained in us.
Yeah.
You know, I'm still of the generation where we said the Pledge of Allegiance and sang Our Country 'Tis of Thee when I was in grade school. You know, I've never been in the military. I don't know to what extent that sort of thing goes, but, I heard not too long ago, I wish I was more scholastic about this, guys, I apologize. If a soldier is given an order that they believe is unlawful or unconstitutional, they are within their rights to respectfully refuse to carry that order out. It's going to boil down to a matter of integrity with the troops and with the people that are trying to be used to subjugate everybody. You know, and whoever's coming up with these plans, I think they've got a little bit more than they can handle. I really do. You know, even Debbie Zickelmeyer. Mm-hmm. Go ahead, bud.
I was just going to say, what is to say that the government, because, you know, they do all these crazy secret things from using psychics to try to find the enemy, to different things that they've done in the past with mind control, and, you know, all this stuff. Who's to say what they're going to pull out of their arsenal, you know, with different things? Who knows? You know, just like
very true.
The whole UFO thing, you know, who's to say how much technology that we have now? Because if you go back, you know, I remember in the 80s, you know, we didn't have a whole hell of a lot of technology in the early 80s. And then all of a sudden there's just this rampant boom where things have progressed so fast. And how much technology are we using now that the government, you know,
hasn't released yet?
How much UFO technology have been used in technology now that we as the public don't really know?
Right.
Yeah.
Yeah, that's part of the problem that we've got, you know, in trying to investigate UFO sightings, because anymore, it's almost as likely to be ours as something extraterrestrial. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
there's you know, one of the seeming most recent identified craft, the triangular craft. At one point it was, you know, gee, what are these new triangular craft being seen? And we're going back years, even to Art Bell, when he was talking, the reason he got interested in UFOs is because, you know, one night driving around out there in Nevada, he spots a triangular craft. But if you talk, and this would be somebody good to have on your show as well, author, a personal friend of mine, David Marler, he's written the definitive book on triangular craft, and all of his research takes the triangular craft way back, even before the turn of last century. This is not a new phenomena. But all these things that have happened is they've just been seen floating around. There hasn't been any, that I'm aware of, any landings. I haven't read David's book, so I don't know. But I would think it's a strong possibility, and I think David's on the same page as me, that they're very likely ours and not from out there.
Yeah. Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think you guys are right when you're talking about the implementation of alien technology. Yeah, massively, I think.
Well, one of the speakers that talked to us at MUFON was talking about how there was a program where people were actually taught how to move UFO craft with their minds. Remember?
That would have been Grant Cameron.
Yes.
That would have been Grant Cameron, because the summation of his talk was that it's all about consciousness. And that fits with what pieces we've been picking up over the years, is that the beings on board these craft, there's not much of a control panel, that there are devices, you know, things that they put on their head, and they have places on the panel for their hands, for their fingers,
mm-hmm.
and that these craft are all controlled by consciousness.
Mm-hmm.
That there's not really much moving parts at all, and everything seems to boil back to that. If you guys want to have a real interesting discussion, you guys ought to pick up the Montauk books.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know if you guys have heard of the Montauk experiments or not, but remarkable, absolutely remarkable. That was allegedly supposed to have been an experiment for mind control that wound up opening a time portal, opening up all kinds of things. And if you subscribe to that, and we really have a department or whatever that deals with time travel, man, you know, like Adnan used the term a Pandora's box. Oh my goodness, because that almost takes everything off the table. You know, what we're experiencing right now, if somebody does something time-wise, it could change even what we're doing right now. It gets real mind-boggling. Real mind-boggling.
Oh, exactly. You know, and
so,
you know,
and
what always gets me, okay, people that ghost hunt, we don't have government workers following us around. Bigfoot hunters don't have government following us around. I interviewed, it was about a year ago, I can't even remember the gentleman's name off the top of my head, but he'd been in the UFO field for over 35 years, and actually was part of the investigation back in 1976, if I'm wrong, forgive me. Basically, the UFO abduction that influenced the movie Light in the Sky, I believe it is.
Yeah, Fire in the Sky. That was the Travis Walton story.
Yeah.
Well, this gentleman, he, you know, I talked to him on the show, and he was talking about all through his career in the UFO field, he's been followed, he's been threatened by gentlemen in black suit, whatnot. And I'm just sitting here thinking, okay, there's got to be something really to the UFO field if they're spending time, money, and manpower to follow people that are in the UFO field. Why are they trying to keep us from finding out?
And another avenue on that, are they tracking people to get information that they haven't yet gotten?
Yeah, exactly.
So that's, I mean, my website at one point, 14% of the traffic to my website was U.S. military.
Huh,
really?
So, you know, I'm sure that if I pulled up the statistics today, there'd probably still be a certain percentage. But that's because on my website, itsdms.com, I've always tried to incorporate UFO information.
Yeah.
And, you know, I make no mystery about it in my online resume and all that I've been part of MUFON and the UFO Study Group of Greater St. Louis since the early 80s, you know. So, you know, but then again, that would be the only reason. It's not like I know anything that would be of a danger to whoever's trying to keep all this stuff suppressed. I think it's more that they're keeping track of all this stuff because there are so many people having experiences and out trying to investigate and then talking about it. It's information that they otherwise wouldn't have.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying?
Yeah.
There was a thought at one point that a number of the UFO investigation groups like AFRO and what was the other one? NICAP. Well, NICAP was started by Major Donald Kehoe anyway. But that a lot of these groups were infiltrated by the military, and they were trying to control the groups and all that kind of thing. And maybe at one point that might have been true, but very similar to the ghost hunting, if you will, field, there are so many small private groups that get out and investigate because, I mean, before MUFON started getting airplay on Discovery Channel, hardly anybody knew about MUFON. You know, these groups don't advertise in the Yellow Pages, you know, anymore. Well, I mean, there are some paranormal groups that do, but at one point I did a check with the Secretary of State of Missouri's you know, company registration, and I believe I found something like 38 different groups just in the state of Missouri that were incorporated or LLC'd or something. They were forming official companies. If you're going to be smart, you do that. But there's just probably at least hundreds, if not thousands, of small groups out there investigating all this stuff. So instead of, you know, breaking your neck, trying to, you know, watch NORAD or whatever and trying to get information that way, why not? I mean, all these groups seem to have websites. Why not follow those websites and see if there's any new information that comes up? And if so, is there anything that they should seriously investigate?
Right.
Yeah.
So how are we doing on time, guys?
Well, we're about there. We're about done.
Oh, okay.
But, is there any way you could talk to Debbie about maybe you and her coming on sometime?
Yeah. I'll mention it to Debbie next time I see her. I'll tell her and see if we can arrange a time for that.
Yeah, I think Kevin really, really likes her, and he probably, you know, maybe some of the other people on our network as well would like to interview her.
Sure.
Because I know she's got great stories. She's done a lot, and
oh my God, she has reactivated Missouri MUFON. Well, before Debbie took the state directorship, it was just about as dead as a doornail. And she accepted the invitation to become state director, and it's just gone like gangbusters. That's the reason I came back to Missouri MUFON. You know, the prior leadership was lacking. And it's a very difficult job. But she's taken it on. She's grabbed the bull by the horns, and she's done just a magnificent job. Yeah, your listeners would love to hear, you know, anything and everything that she's got to talk about. I mean,
yeah.
She's connected, like I say, with the cattle mutilation. She and her brother Chuck have been out actually to the Roswell area, you know, doing their own digs with Discovery Channel. Chuck is now the director of cattle mutilations for MUFON. They're also connected with Bigfoot research. Just tons of information you guys could get from these guys.
Oh, man.
Yeah, Jody, next time I talk to Debbie, I'll mention it and see how quick I can get you guys connected.
Cool.
Of course, if
sounds
you're there
good
at the meeting, we can
yeah
all three talk. You and I can talk to her.
Yeah. When is the meeting? Next week?
Third Wednesday of the month.
Send me an email. You know how bad I suck.
I will. I know.
I can't keep track of a goddamn thing. Not even myself. Okay? I don't even know where I am half the time.
Yeah, I'll let you know, sweetie.
All right, thank you.
Oh, you're very welcome. You guys have a good night.
You too.
You too.
Huh? Oh, okay.
Okay.
I think. Okay, I'm going to leave you guys now.
Okay.
Okay.
Good night.
Okay.
Good night.
There you have it.
Do what?
So, what'd you think of my buddies from MUFON?
I like your buddy.
Yeah?
Yeah.
I have fun with them, you know? They're good guys, and they got great stories. But, you know, at the meetings, they are very serious. They have speakers that speak, or we watch really great documentaries, like showing us actual cases that have been researched and the
mm-hmm
evidence, and so it's very educational, and I find a lot of fun in my monthly meetings, you know, and I look forward to seeing these guys. We just go sit in a restaurant. I bring my iPad, and everything I learn, I open up a new tab, so when I get home, I've got like a gazillion tabs to go through, and it takes me a while. I start researching. I start listening to this documentary on it and going, and then I'll get on and I'll start texting George Norrie and say, okay, is this true? And he'll be like, it doesn't matter what I think. It's what you think. And I'm like, come on. Help a girl out. Is it true or is it not? You know?
Right?
Right. Yeah.
Oh, man.
All right, so do we have anything next week?
Yes, I have a guest.
Yeah.
A paranormal investigator.
Who?
Yeah.
Who?
The gentleman's name is Rick Wade.
Rick Wade.
He friended the URN Radio Network fan page and hit us up and said, hey, I'd love to be a guest on any of the shows. So I got him booked for next Tuesday, and a couple weeks later he's going to be on my Sunday show.
Nice.
So, yeah. I mean, and by the way, if you haven't noticed, we're up to 233 likes on our Terrify Radio fan page.
I have not noticed.
Oh, yeah?
No, but that's great.
We're getting 2 or 3 likes every other day. So
nice.
People are getting the word out and listening to the show. We got almost 500 likes on our URN Radio Network page.
Wonderful.
So it's getting there,
all
baby.
Right.
We had some guests in the chat room listening as well, so... they stuck with us through the entire show until we went to the archive.
Guys. I didn't even go in the chat room.
Yeah, so there was people listening tonight. I was afraid that, you know, with some of the craziness that we were talking about, that they would be like, whoa, and get out, you know, and stop listening.
Yeah, you
but
know
they,
what? I mean, they've got stories. They may be crazy shit, but, like, you know, Ray, he's the bread man. He says he shows up, he has bread. He always has his peace offering, you know. He's the bread man. It's out there, but, you know, he sticks with his story and, you know.
I like listening to people's stories, especially in UFO field, because that's something I'm always interested in. And I'd rather listen and talk to these type of people that are in the field and they have experiences and they want to tell their stories than some of these paracelebs that are out there. I'll take these people any day.
Yeah, I mean they've got no motive in they're not trying to get famous. They're not like I mean I reached out to Joe. I found him almost 8 years ago. You know, and he was trying to get me to go UFO hunting with him back then. I was like, Joe, seriously, like what are we gonna do? Just stare at the sky? But the more you know, you get into everything. It's like you just wonder, is there a connection over there somehow that lines up somewhere with everything? You know what I mean?
Yeah, and I'm going Bigfoot hunting this month, so I'm pumped.
That's kick-ass.
And Brandon told me that where they have the Bigfoot sightings and whatnot, they also have paranormal activity.
Nice. So are you going to bring some of your stuff?
Oh, yeah. He said, bring my shit.
Jesus. Could you do me a favor? Could you go on YouTube, download some of my videos, steal some of my videos, and, like, pull some of the burps and play them for Bigfoot for me? I'm telling you, you're going to get activity.
Yeah, I can do that because I'm also taking my four-wheeler, and I put a stereo system on the four-wheeler, so I could download your burps in the MP3 pop files and put on my MP3 player and play them through my stereo on my four-wheeler.
Shit, I should just put some together real quick for you just for him.
And if I get any evidence, if we get a reaction, I'm playing it on the show. Yeah.
Okay. Oh, yeah. I mean, God, I'm telling you, if I went Bigfoot hunting, I think he would come around. He would be like, he would, especially if I went when I was having my period, he would be like, that smells good. You
know? Oh, damn.
And then the burping, he'd be like, man, that chick is ready to mate. It'll be the mating call, I'm telling you. He would just come running. He would think I was just like a damsel in distress, you know. He would want to rescue me. So I think that if you play him, good things are going to happen. Yeah.
Sweet.
Yeah.
Cool. Well, let's close it down.
Right,
for
I'm going to play it out. Here we go.
All right.
Everybody. Thank you for listening.